Welcome along to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post in association with Three Super Tips. Back of the net last week, Steve. Neiman, 8-1. I'm not sure where we are in the sequence, good week, bad week, whatever, but the winners keep coming.
I'm not sure we can even call it a good week, Dave. It was one good tournament, one bad tournament. Live Singapore couldn't have gone any better. The Players' Championship couldn't have gone any worse. So, I'm happy enough, Dave. And, we've got some momentum.
Lots to chew over from last week. Players coming back in because of darkness for a next day playoff. Clubs being Ubered around everywhere. We'll get on to all of that. But how are you, Steve? What have you been up to?
I'm all right, yeah. I watched as much of Live Singapore as I could. Obviously, it's through-the-night stuff. Quite challenging. It was on ITV4 in the early hours on for the final round. Then it cut off to ITVX about 3 o'clock in the morning. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I didn't have the ability to get there to ITVX. It's quite a fiddly business, isn't it? So I fell asleep at that point. But Wackham Neiman nicely ahead at that point.
Well, I did come on thinking I was going to check the baggage under the eyes because it's a bit of a slog trying to cover it all.
Absolutely, yeah. Wackham Neiman, though, an emphatic victory. It's a five-shot margin of victory. 67, 64, 65. So 17 under par for three rounds. This is a 26-year-old at the peak of his powers. Former world number one amateur, we must stress, Dave. I saw Brendan Duke. We must mention this. Brendan Duke, one of our Irish friends, great horsey judge, class act in every respect. He started making his own Sweet Spot merchandise. Our bosses have been very slow to produce this merchandise, but Brendan Duke has got a beautiful hoodie that he was showcasing on Twitter last week with former world number one amateur written on the front. So anyone who wants Sweet Spot merchandise, maybe they should contact Brendan Duke, find him on Twitter, and he can sell you some. But Wackham Neiman, former world number one amateur, always destined for greatness. Two-time PGA Tour champion, one-time DP World Tour champion, one-time Asian Tour champion, and now a four-time LIV Golf champion. So, the obvious next step for Neiman is to start contending for major titles. He's going to play in all of them this year, I think it's safe to say. Worth considering.
Yeah, great effort. And top bloke, Juki, we like him. We've had him on the Sweet Spot Live and all sorts. Maybe we should just get him on, even if we don't do it live, we should just get him on, find out how he is and, you know, how much he's knocking out the merch for. Right, we'll get on to all of that. You are here, of course, on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Do remember to like, comment and subscribe. We've got an absolute belter coming up. In the lead up to the Masters, there is going to be a no-holds-barred Q&A with our very own Steve Palmer in the Racing Post. So we invite you to drop your comments, your questions below, anything. You can go absolutely anywhere with this. If you want to know what shoe size Steve is, his go-to takeaway, what are his thoughts on global warming, what he gets up to on Mondays in preparation for golf tournaments, best and worst bets he's ever had, whatever. Everything's on the table here, Steve, so be prepared.
That's fine, Dave. Yeah. I only found out about this morning, but more than happy to answer any questions within reason.
Yeah, I'm sure all the questions might go in. I'm not sure all the answers will be able to go in print, but we shall see. We welcome you. Jump in the comments and do let us know your thoughts on Steve. And that's coming up, Q&A, leading up to the Masters in the Racing Post. So look out for that. Right, two tournaments then, Steve. We'll start. I know you like to go chronological, so we'll start in Singapore. You've already touched on the winner there. Any other takeaways?
Well, David Puge obviously did us a good favour. He finished fourth on his own. So the each-way money from David Puge, getting better all the time, this lad. He's a 23-year-old. He's going places. He's effective all over the globe. This is what I like about this lad. He travels all over the globe, happily plays on the Asian Tour, DP World Tour, and excelling on LIV. I'm certain he'll win a LIV title soon enough. And his final round scoring average is sensational, Dave. You know, I know you're a greyhound, man. He reminds me of Skirlo Champ. You know, he always finishes with a flourish. Always seems to play well on Sundays, which is obviously a great asset for a golfer to have. So, yeah, keep David Puge on your side going forward. And keep Dustin Johnson. Keep an eye on Dustin Johnson. You know, we've been talking a lot about Dustin Johnson over the last fortnight.
You put him up the week before, didn't you? You put him up, yeah.
Put him up in Hong Kong. And he was 100-1 last week for LIV Singapore. And tied for fifth place. He closed with a 64 in Hong Kong, you remember. Opened with a 63 in Singapore. So he was the first round leader by three shots. I noticed in the comment section, one of our commentators backed Dustin Johnson last week for first round leader, Dave. He had a 50-1 winner on that. So well done to him. A place return for anyone who backed him outright 100-1. So, yeah, after two rounds in Hong Kong, you know, there was loads of people giving Dustin Johnson stick. You know, the Twitterati had their knives out. But, you know, he's still got plenty to offer. He's only 40 years old, Dave. 40 years old, and no injury problems. You know, there's no reason to write Dustin Johnson off. Yeah, if it's motivation issues, that's something that can come back quickly, isn't it? So it'd be interesting to see what price he goes off for the next LIV event. It's the end of this month, LIV Miami. You won't be getting 100-1 Johnson.
Well, it's beautiful there that you said, you know, you may remember, and I did. It was only last week. So I was able to remember that, Steve, so we're all right.
Even my goldfish can remember that one.
So keep the faith in DJ. So we'll keep him on side. Anything else for the livers?
No. Obviously, LIV Singapore couldn't have gone better. Would preferred it to have been Players' Championship, which was the event which went well, but it didn't. But yeah, we'll come to that now.
Okay, right, let's get on to the Players' Championship then. And I told you, this man's going to win the lot this year, and he is back. We've messed about with all sorts of equipment being ferried here, there and everywhere by Uber, switching back to old clubs. You can tackle all of that, Steve, but the facts are McIlroy back in the winner's enclosure.
Yeah, I think you're referring to the $1,000 Uber bill that to get his clubs from his home to Bay Hill, which is obviously no problem for
money well spent as well, I'd say.
Well, I'm sure he gave the Uber driver a healthy tip. But yeah, McIlroy, 12-1 winner last week, and he'd be sticking with these clubs for a while because, yeah, he put some new clubs in the bag for the first three rounds of Bay Hill, then got the Uber driver to fire him in for the Sunday round. And, you know, I'm really impressed with how quickly he got over all that drama. I thought fiddling with his equipment like that would unsettle him for at least a couple of weeks. But he drew a line under it. You know, he got him back in the bag for the Sunday at Bay Hill. And then last week he did enough to win. I mean, it wasn't vintage McIlroy last week, was it, Davey? You know, he missed a lot of fairways. His approach play was excellent. He putted well. And then I think the key to the tournament was he was up against far less experienced players over the weekend, wasn't he? I mean, that leaderboard really lacked star quality. In my preview before the final round, I said McIlroy should probably be the favourite, even though he's four shots behind JJ Spawn, because he was the big fish amongst little fish, wasn't he? Big fish, little fish.
Carbon box. Yeah,
that's it. Kevin and Perry, isn't it? But I didn't tip him because I still had high hopes for Sepp Straka at that stage. But yeah, McIlroy won the fifth major. I know you like to call it the fifth major with his B game. Yeah, it might not even have been his B game, to be fair. It was a long way from his A game. So, yeah, it's like a football team, isn't it? If you can win games without playing well, it's a sign of it just bodes really well for the year ahead. I mean, we've had spells this year where we can't contain our excitement about the year ahead for McIlroy. I know you put your house on the Grand Slam. But again, I'm really, really excited because his game wasn't there and he still won last week. He played that boring golf at times that we were talking about, you know, percentage golf. Even that driver on the 18th in the playoff, I think people were getting carried away thinking that was a cavalier move. I mean, it just eliminated so much of the water, didn't it? I think driver for McIlroy, when he hit it as far as he do, is not that cavalier with that.
He was in good shape at that point. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So just really encouraging for McIlroy fans. And yeah, you're probably going to be having your second house on the McIlroy Grand Slam now, aren't you?
Ah, just, you know, there's something in, I know they've had to come back the next day for the playoff, but there's something in, if you get two players kind of in contention, that I think they should be on the same hole at the same time. I don't know what it is about. I don't know. I've mentioned to you before about in a final round, you know, the back nine maybe changing the pairings up and getting real drama because they're playing together. They're going shot for shot. I mean, McIlroy is a beautiful human being. He was in his winner's speech, acceptance speech, whatever it is at the end. He was saying how sorry he felt for JJ Spawn that he's, you know, he's hit a shot into the wind, the wind's died down, it's not played a part, he's got into the drink and it's all over. And I'm thinking, you've just won, mate. Like, be happy for yourself. But he's thinking about the poor other chap.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very ambitious plan, Dave. I don't think it can come into fruition. I mean, if you
look, I love it. Get them on the same hole. Get just the drama.
I mean, look at Will Zalatoris last week, Dave. I mean, he was tied for the lead at one point, and he's in 33rd place about half hour later. So, if you'd fiddle with where he's playing on the pitch, that wouldn't have worked out. So, yeah, I think your plan needs a lot of work there, Dave, to be honest.
I'm open to suggestions. It's all right.
McIlroy always magnanimous in defeat or victory. Yeah, he was a class act because JJ Spawn was stunned by how far that went in the playoff. In the playoff, the playoff effectively ended, didn't it, at the 17th hole. It was a three-hole playoff, but we knew it was over when
Spawn... Well, I think he took an 8-iron, didn't he? And McIlroy hit a 9 and he just went straight over.
Yeah. Adrenaline, Dave. So, adrenaline. I mean, the caddy and JJ should have been aware that he was pumped to the 9s. You know, he's obviously trying to calm himself down, but he's obviously full of adrenaline. The breeze is switching all over the place. So, I mean, it was unlucky. But, I mean, JJ Spawn, it was a classic David versus Goliath thing, wasn't it?
Yeah. But that's what, when you speak about you looking at the leaderboard and McIlroy should have been Fav, it is for exact moments like that, because McIlroy probably would have been pumped, but he's been there a million times before. So he knows the drill. He knows what's going on.
Well, it was such a measured approach from McIlroy at 17. His iron play was excellent last week. The Masters build-up is going to be intense, Dave. You know, you're going to get overexcited. Everyone's going to get overexcited. Can McIlroy stay calm enough to actually contend properly at Augusta this time? We shall see. We shall see.
He should be 6-4 favourite now. He should be 6-4 favourite.
Yeah,
now he's got the clubs back. He's got the equipment back. Anything else?
What price should Akshay Bhatia be? I mean, Akshay Bhatia, I'd say he's the name to take from that race, really. We all know what McIlroy is capable of. But for Akshay Bhatia to tie third in the Players' Championship was a big career progression for me. Great experience. Yeah, he was in the final group on Saturday. Him and Minwoo Lee were really struggling, but played well on Sunday. He's a 23-year-old, two low-grade PGA Tour events already to his name. Last year was his first full major season. He did okay. I think Bhatia was the one to take from the race. Yeah, that contending at Sawgrass, big step forward for him.
Big fan. As you know, I'm a big, big fan of his. So we'll back him at big prices in all the majors, without a doubt. I think he's got big races to run ahead of him. Right, should we look forward then, Steve,
I think it would be remiss of us not to mention Scotty Scheffler because... Both the men I had my hopes behind on Sunday were disappointing on Sunday. I mean, Sepp Straka, he tied for 14th place. He was 8th going into the final round. He tied 14th. Doesn't tell the full story because... he was 5 over par through his first 6 holes on Sunday, Dave. You know, a horror start to the final round. Straka's won 3 low-grade PGA Tour titles. The question is he good enough mentally to win a biggie like last week's? I thought maybe he was ready to win a biggie, but Sunday's evidence really off-putting. He's 31, Dave. No spring chicken now, no baby. It was a disappointing effort on Sunday. It was a babyish effort on Sunday. So Sepp Straka, I'm not sure, tempting this week, but we'll talk about him in the Valspar preview. And Scotty Scheffler, obviously we can't move on without discussing Scotty Scheffler. Just so disappointing close to the hole. And, no excuses this time. Bay Hill, he was happy to give the excuse of the baked out greens, the dead greens, putted poorly on them. But he putted poorly last week. His putting was as bad at Sawgrass on the good greens as it was at Bay Hill. But his chipping was also poor, Dave. His driving was good. It was okay. His approach play was decent enough, but short game really bad. And his temperament, Dave, seems peculiar to say this about Scotty Scheffler. His temperament was letting him down last week. Getting so frustrated, so angry. He seems really angry about the lack of wins this year. He'd obviously already won 2 tournaments by this stage last year. Just an impossible act to follow 2024. And it almost certainly be the greatest year of his career. And I think he's struggling mentally with the expectation level he has now.
Turns out he's human after all, eh?
It turns out he's human and he's angry. And, we forget he's got a young son at home. Maybe fatherhood, he's finding that a bit more challenging than he thought he would. But there's an anger about him. He's a bit snappy with the media men last week, Dave. Which is very annoying.
I didn't say that.
A bit sarcastic, bit grumpy, bit eager not to, eager to wrap up the interviews. When you're world number one, there's an expectation that you need to fulfill your media commitments, obviously, and he didn't seem up for it last week. So I think he's angry, and we'll see him once more before the Masters. We'll see him in the Houston Open next week. We'll be getting a close eye on his game, but also his temperament.
Interesting. He's going to be favourite for the Masters, whatever happens, isn't he? Wherever happens in Houston, he'll be favourite. So it'll be interesting. Very, very interesting to see.
Unless he gets on the old making the pasta again and smashes his hands up. And wouldn't be favourite then, would he? But I know what you're saying, Dave. Sorry, let's move on.
Let's move on. Right, Singapore Classic on the DP World Tour. That's where we're going to first. Third edition of the event. Talk to us about the course.
The classic course, Laguna National Resort, Singapore, 7,420 yards, par 72, four par fives, three pieces of course form for punters, the 2015 World Classic on the Asian Tour, and the last two Singapore Classics on the DP World Tour. Long, soft course, large greens, there to be attacked. The weather forecast is for loads of pre-tournament rain, thundery showers during the event. It could be a stop-start event, this. Moderate breezes for the first 2 days. Calm at the weekend, a field of 132 going to post. Place your bets by 11:30 p.m. UK time Wednesday night.
Okay, good to know. 11 p.m. Wednesday night. All of that sounds like we want some length. Is that what we're looking for?
You've always needed some length, Dave. None more so this week.
Right, okay. Bobby Mack is our market leader at 15-2. Tom McKibben, Paul Casey, Jordan Smith. What are your thoughts, Steve, on the field? Good lineup?
Well, it's a fascinating lineup. We've got five tips. This is the most appealing betting tournament of the week.
Five?
I've only got two tips on the PGA Tour this week. I'm very, very scared of the PGA Tour event. We'll come to that later. But this one, I like the look of.
Well, okay. Right, five selections then for the Singapore Classic. Who is the best bet?
Tom McKibben. 18-1 available. We're back on the Tom McKibben Express. He's playing on the DP World Tour again this week, but of course, he's now a LIV player. He's got four LIV tournaments under his belt now. He's already banked a fortune, Dave. Form figures as an individual of 15-7-6-25, but he's part of the Legion 13 side, of course. It's the best team on LIV. John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton are two of his teammates, so free money for McKibben every time he tees up from the team events. He's caked in cheddar, to steal one of your favourite lines. So he walks around smelling of cheddar. And he can turn up at DP World Tour events like this one with, swinging with freedom and confidence. Yeah, there's players in this lineup, Dave, who are battling for their livelihood. They're not every golfer is rich. Richer than you and I. But some golfers are really struggling to maintain that career. McKibben, already financially secure for life, Dave, swaggers into a DP World Tour event this week with confidence. And what better preparation can you have for the Singapore Classic than LIV Singapore? Acclimatised in Singapore, he was 5-under par for the weekend. He played well at the weekend in LIV Singapore. The Singapore Classic venue is a 25-minute drive up the road from the LIV Singapore venue. And McKibben has played in the last two Singapore Classics, so he can really hit the ground running here. He knows the course. In 2023, he had DP World Tour form figures of miscut 36 going into the Singapore Classic. He was ranked 308th in the world, DP World Tour rookie, hugely inexperienced, opened up with a 64, finished 12th. Last year, just before the event started, Dave, he got tonsillitis. So in tournament week, he goes down with tonsillitis, feels terrible, doesn't know whether to play, plays rubbish, missed the cut. Probably why we're getting such a juicy price this week, but you can completely ignore that miscut. You had a huge excuse. Don't know if you've ever had tonsillitis, Dave. I've had it loads of times. It's debilitating. So forget that miscut. This is a great course for him. It's a driver's track, long, soft, four par five. McKibben's got the power to overwhelm it. So, I think a second DP World Tour title coming on Sunday for Tom McKibben.
Good stuff. Tom McKibben, who by all accounts walks around spending a lot of Tesco's deli counter on it with the amount of cheddar he's got around him at the moment. How can you remember that he had tonsillitis last year? Is that just all upstairs, Steve?
Remember it well, Dave, because we were on him last year and tuned in for the coverage on the first morning, full of anticipation and excitement. And I remember Richard Boxall was the commentator who made the announcement that He'd gone down with tonsillitis a couple of days ago. So, he was feeling rough throughout. And, as I say, ignore that miscut. We're getting a great price because of it.
There you go. That is the level of knowledge that goes in to Steve Palmer's work. It's all upstairs. Remember everything. There we go, in the Racing Post. And Sweet Spot every week right here. Okay, Tom McKibben, who is a favourite here on the Sweet Spot, but you made a great case for him there. We've still got four more to come. They have to get bigger unless you're tipping Bob McIntyre. So who's the next best?
Alejandro Del Rey. 40-1 available. Won his maiden DP World Tour title in the Ras Al Khaimah Championship at the end of January. A four-shot romp, you probably remember. His miscut in Bahrain the following week is easy to forgive. You know, a lot of players win and then they're away with the fairies the following week. His miscut in Qatar was by a shot. His miscut in Joburg last time out was by a shot. He was 25th in the South African Open at the start of this month. So I think the form since his win looks worse on paper than in reality. I think Del Rey is still full of confidence. He's a 27-year-old on the up. He won on the Alps Tour in 2020. He won on the Challenge Tour in 2022. Now off the mark on the DP World Tour. And teeing up this week, David, one of his favourite courses in the world, if not his favourite. Del Rey was world number 343 going into the 2023 Singapore Classic, but he finished third. He was world number 274 going into last year's Singapore Classic, but he finished seventh. His best result of 2023 came in the Singapore Classic. His best result of 2024 came in the Singapore Classic. Only one player in the field outscored him in the over the weekend of last year's Singapore Classic. That was the eventual champion, Jesper Svensson, who's not playing this week. So Del Rey made for this venue. He's never gone there with more self-belief. He's 180 places better in the world rankings than when he finished third 2 years ago. 180 places, Dave. 180! Didn't have the breath to carry that one through, but you get the message.
Okay. Right.
I just couldn't deliver that line.
Two down. Listen, you're no Russ Bray, mate, so it's okay. It's okay. Like I say, we'll have you for your golf knowledge rather than your darts calling. Not a problem. Right, three more to come then. And I've got a feeling that we're going to see some big prices. Am I right?
You'll get them eventually, Dave. But this one is a 33-1 chance. When ye ding. Ding dong merrily on high. The Chinese boy is ready. We've had when ye ding on our side regularly since he became a DP World Tour member. I'm glad that face cracked eventually, Dave. 20 years of age is Wenyi Ding. Fantastic amateur career. Former world number 3 amateur. Not quite good enough to wear Brendan Duke's new hoodie, but former world number 3 amateur. Ding would be playing in the Masters next month had he stayed in amateur, because he won the Asia Pacific Amateur last year, gets you into the Masters. But as soon as he got his DP World Tour card offered to him through the Global Amateur Pathway Rankings. There's this new thing where they offer a DP World Tour card through the Global Amateur Pathway Rankings. He got that and he said, right, I'm turning professional. Don't care about the Masters. I'm going to play in that at some stage because I'm bloody good. And he's just been banking decent checks as a professional ever since. He was fifth in the Australian Open, you might remember, when we were on him in December. He's not missed a cut since. Form figures of 55, 35, 20, 14 from his last four starts. Lovely progressive form figures. All the events he's played this year have been course debuts. But this week, teeing up at a course he knows. Ding played in the 2023 Singapore Classic as an amateur, a teenage amateur, and he finished 23rd, Dave. He actually led the tournament after opening with a pair of 66s. So at the halfway stage of the 2023 Singapore Classic, Ding's first, Tom McKibben second. Those two youngsters have got two more years of experience under their belt. I think they're both going to contend this week. I can't wait to see them in action.
And I think I'm right in saying that you weren't on him a week or two ago and you were quite fearful that a win was around the corner.
Yeah. He was last name off the list. That was the day, that Thursday in Brighton, where I was losing my mind because of Chris Gotter up and Wenyi Ding was playing well that way. That Thursday was a difficult one for me. But, fortunately, he only finished 14th in that event. So it was the right decision to not back him. But, this week he must be so looking forward to playing a course he already knows. We know he's got the talent, got course knowledge this week. Really exciting bet.
And I know you love the phrase trending in the right direction there. He's definitely getting closer. Right, so that is Three down, two to go. Who else you got for us?
Ugo Cassound. 55-1. Who was excellent for large spells of the Joburg Open last time out. He looked the likely winner for me until carding a triple bogey 7 at the 15th hole in round 3. He had a double bogey on Sunday, ended up in 25th place, but I've still got this fella down as a winner waiting to happen. You know I love his swing, got loads of power. I think this week's venue, long, soft, ideal for him. He finished 37th on his course debut last year. His Challenge Tour win came in Asia. He won that in India. Maybe his DP World Tour breakthrough comes in the same continent this week. Yeah, he looks like Gladiator 2, as we discussed the other day. I hope he fights like Gladiator 2 this week. You know, just strength and honour, Ugo. Strength and honour.
Right, remind us of his price.
55-1, Ugo Cassound.
Right, so we've got one more to come, which I'm hoping is going to be a monster price, Steve. What you got for
him? Yeah, he's been backed over the last 24 hours, which is hugely disappointing. 80-1 still available. David Rovetto. Another French fancy to go with Ugo Cassound. David Rovetto, just one Rovetto. Give him to me. Another fantastic driver of the ball, Dave. I've got such a good team of drivers this week. You probably noticed that. We've got these long, soft fairways, mouth-watering targets for my team here. Rovetto played in the 2023 Singapore Classic when he was ranked 586th in the world, yet he finished in 23rd place. At the start of last year, he won his first Challenge Tour event. Then he finished 21st in the Singapore Classic. So solid results at this track. Then in August, he won his first DP World Tour event, a four-shot romp in the Czech Masters. Czech Masters, that's a venue, another driver-heavy venue. Similar assignment to Laguna National. Rovetto has shown enough this year to suggest he could repeat the trick. Decent efforts this year. 13th in Ras Al Khaimah's his best. He's missed two cuts, but he played well in round 2 in both of those events. Just slow from the starting gates. I expect him to start well this week. Of course, he knows and loves. He closed with a 64 last week, Dave. Only the winner, Jesper Svensson, outscored David Rovetto in the final round of last year's Singapore Classic.
Okay, lovely. And the fact that you've gone for 5 selections here, Steve, tells me that you like the look of this tournament. You fancy this one.
I really do. It's definitely the better betting heat at this stage. I mean, we'll come to the other event now, but I'm edgy about the other event until I've seen the tee times.
Okay, well, let's just quickly talk about Bobby Mack, Paul Casey, Jordan Smith, Sam Bairstow, all those at the head of the betting here. You're taking them all on.
McIntyre makes no appeal at those odds. I mean, he's trekking from Sawgrass. You know, he's played in 4 rounds in the Players' Championship, so he's got to get himself from Florida to Singapore, you know, entitled to be a bit lethargic. His only previous start on this course came in 2023, and he missed the cut by 5 shots, I think it was. Is he going to be mentally invested in this? I assume there's some sponsors' money coming his way, you know, an appearance fee, Porsche are the sponsors, so maybe they're chucking a Porsche or two his way to come and play here. But yeah, I just think motivation might be an issue.
Okay, anyone that was close to being on the list and it becoming 6?
Let's have a look, Dave. I don't think there was. There was actually, Kaito Nakajima. Kaito Nakajima, I'm a big fan of Kaito Nakajima, and it was hard to get away from him, but he hasn't played for ages. He hasn't played since Qatar, I think it was, which put me off. You know, maybe he's got some injury issues he had to deal with.
5's enough. That's cool. We're happy with that. Oh, right, sure. Let's move on then to the Valspar Championship. Talk to us about the course, Steve, before we get into your reservations.
Yes, the Copperhead course, Innisbrook Resort, Palm Harbour, Florida. 7,352 yards, par 71, 4 par 5s, 5 par 3s. Tough tree-lined layout, hosting for the 24th time. Accuracy, churning out greens in regulation, the key to success. The Honours Board reflects that. 16 of the 23 winners here finished inside the top 15 for greens in regulation. So we know what's needed to win here. But unfortunately, we do need to sound the potential draw bias klaxon. Potential draw bias. Potential draw bias. Is that enough?
That's plenty, yeah.
Nice, Dave. Potential great. The worst scoring conditions of the tournament set to come on Thursday afternoon. All the Valspar wind, all the wind in this tournament comes on Thursday afternoon if the forecast stays correct. Add to the bias the fact on Friday morning will be the coldest weather of the week. So those out early on Thursday, late on Friday, look set to have a significant advantage. You know, the weather forecast might change, but they're very good at predicting the weather these days, Dave. And betting.
I've asked you this before. Let me just jump in quickly. I've asked you this before. Where do you go to check your weather forecast for the golf?
Well, the Valsports tee times will be on the PGA Tour, pjtour.com later today, late today. But by the time this podcast comes out, I think they publish it at 7 p.m., don't they? By then, you sniff around. The PGA Tour may have issued the tee times for the Valspar Championship, but the tee times seem absolutely crucial this week. Yeah, I'm going to tip two players before the tee times. Obviously, take your chances. If we get them where we want them, then we're on fantastic bets. If we don't get them where we want them, plenty of bookmakers these days have cash out options, don't they? If you bet with a bookmaker offers you a cash out for your entire stake, if they get on the wrong side of the draw, you can perhaps do that. But I have two selections for you before I've seen the tee times, and then I'll be praying that I get that early start on Thursday.
Do you predict that the market is going to shift that much when the tee times are out?
I think the sharper bookmakers, it's a big test of your bookmaking acumen here, isn't it? There might be some bookmakers do a 9 till 5 and then head off and head off home. So there'll be some angles. I think
they're the ones we want to pounce on and punish.
Absolutely, yeah, pounce and punish those with a good work life balance. but those who are married to their job will probably be sharp to this.
Right, okay. Last four winners, all American, and I've got a bit of trivia for you. A blast from the past. Name the player that holds the tournament record for this event.
Tournament record for this event. Is it Sam?
I'll give you the year as a clue. 2004.
2004. Was that John Zenden? I remember back in John Zenden for this many moons ago.
VJ.
VJ. Oh, the willowy Fijian. Oh, yeah. VJ would have liked this test. I think I called him the evergreen Fijian, but I think his body's showing signs of wilting now. We all wilt eventually, don't we?
We do. Right, I'm just looking at this course and the winners that have won this in the past, Steve, are we sticking sort of driving stats in the bin here? What we're doing off the tee, is that not really important here?
Well, greens and regulation is the key stat, but you've got to be really precise. Accuracy off the tee and accuracy to the green, it's a classic churning out greens and regulation tournament.
How many selections have we got here?
We got 156 players going to post, and we got two selections. And as I say, increased stakes if they get an early tee time on Thursday, and then reduced stakes if they don't.
Okay, market leaders, Tommy Fleetwood, Justin Thomas is right up there. Your mate, Seb Straka, Jean Chauffelet is up there. Corey Connors, Shane Lowry, Sam Burns, Will Zalatoris, good field. Round about 12-1, 14-1, the field here. Who is the main selection?
Taylor Moore. 45-1 available about Taylor Moore, the 2023 Valspar champion. We've had lots of dual winners of this event, Dave. We've had 23 Valspars. Two of them have been won by KJ Choi. Two of them have been won by Latif Goosen. Two of them have been won by Paul Casey. Two of them have been won by Sam Burns. I suspect Taylor Moore may have two Valspars on his CV come Sunday night if we get lucky with the tee times. Moore, a 31-year-old, he slowly but surely climbed the rankings. He won on the Canadian Tour in 2016. He won on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2021. PGA Tour breakthrough in 2023 in this tournament. Just become really solid, well-rounded player. He finished 12th when defending his Valspar title last year. He also finished 12th in the USPGA Championship last year. He was 20th in the Masters last year. He can handle tough golf courses. He's made his last seven cuts, Dave. Finished 7th in the American Express, 22nd in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am signature event, 9th in the Phoenix Open. Tied for 33rd place at Sawgrass last week. Had an ice-cold putter. He's definitely hitting his ball well enough to win the Valspar.
Nice big price as well for the main selection. Good. Who's the next best?
Andrew Novak. 80-1 Andrew Novak, a 29-year-old who appears ready to shed his PGA Tour maiden tag. He's been in the form of his life lately. He won on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2020. That victory came in Florida. He showed plenty of bottle when he won that. He birdied his final two holes to win by a shot. He was 27th in the 2023 Valspar when he was ranked 382nd in the world. He was 17th in last year's Valspar when ranked 164th in the world. He tees up this week as world number 80. I was staggered some firms opened up with 100-1 this week. So dismissive. I mean, this is a weak event. Novak looks well capable of winning it. He was runner-up in the Bermuda Championship in November, third in the Farmers Insurance Open in January, 13th in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, 13th in the Genesis Invitational. So mixing it in signature event company. Last week's missed cut at Sawgrass does nothing to put me off. He doesn't like Sawgrass, Dave. He's never made a cut there. He says he hates Pete Dye designs. He had a freezing putter throughout his 36 holes last week. He actually hit his ball superbly in round two, Dave. He shot 70 on Friday, missed the cut, but only dropped one shot in round two. He found 14 greens in regulation on Friday. He much prefers the Valspar venue. I saw an interview last week with him, and he was waxing lyrical about the Copperhead course and saying how much he doesn't like Sawgrass. So I expect him to contend if he gets lucky with this draw.
Right, and it is important. If anyone that did miss it, mate, can we maybe get one more draw bias klaxon?
Potential draw bias.
Now, I asked you where you check the weather, Steve, not the tea times. Where do you check your weather?
Well, the weather's always available. The thing with the tea times is you really have got to be refresh, because I don't know when they're going to come through. It's not consistent. It's not an exact science when the tea times
are. But I know for a fact that you would have pinpointed the most reliable weather forecasting outlet for the PGA Tour. So where do you go? Where does Steve Palmer go for the weather?
Well, to be honest, Dave, I use more than one because I don't trust any of them to be correct. I accumulate the weather. I mean, AccuWeather. I mean, it's very hard to not go to the BBC one because it's so pretty. Like the BBC designs with the little icons and whatnot is so nice. But the other ones don't look as good, but they're perhaps more accurate. So, yeah, it's a mixture of them. So, yeah, AccuWeather and BBC are the two contrasting ones. And the thing is, Dave, they're better at it than ever. The weather forecasters are better than they've ever been. And what are we now? Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning, their predictions for Thursday afternoon are likely to be accurate. So
yeah,
I think we are going to get the draw bias. I hate draw bias, but I think we're going to get it. And as I say, if Moore and Novak get an early start on Thursday, then exciting times ahead.
Yeah, but at least you've pinpointed it. There's nothing worse than there actually being one that you've not seen and you just bet into darkness.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the olden days, obviously the bet would be gone. But these days with the cash out, I don't like cash out. I think cash outs are normally terrible value. But if you get a firm that's offering you a decent cash out value for a bet that's going to be on the wrong side of the draw, then maybe you should take it. But it's all personal decisions on that, isn't it?
Indeed. Right, let's talk some of the big dogs at the top of the market then. Fleetwood and JT to start with. Not on the list, not on the radar.
No, I mean, you got Fleetwood and Justin Thomas jostling for favouritism. I think it's very harsh on Justin Thomas there because, Fleetwood's a PGA Tour maiden. Justin Thomas has won 15 PGA Tour titles, including two majors. I think Thomas deserves to be ahead of Fleetwood in the betting. Thomas shot a pair of 73s over the weekend at Sawgrass. Not ideal. A lot of players at the top of the market, Dave. I've been put off because of their TGL commitments. I know you're a huge TGL fan. I expect you were up in the early hours last night and you'll be up again tonight. It's the semi-finals. It's the semi-finals.
To be honest, the gimmick has worn off with me already.
Well, it never got me because I've got so much golf to follow. I don't have to...
It was just Woods. Watching Woods hit golf shots was just what drew me in.
Yeah, exactly. And they didn't make the semi-finals. So the point is, Tommy Fleetwood was playing this week in TGL. Justin Thomas was playing this week in TGL. Shane Lowry was playing. Cameron Young was playing. Billy Horschel was playing. Sahith Theegala was playing. It's just terrible preparation in it. I know they don't play for long, but it's still quite intense. And as I say, it's the semi-final, so maybe they're, you know, a bit more invested than they would normally. I think the two market leaders this week have both had TGL commitments, and Fleetwood is obviously very difficult to trust on the PGA Tour. Will he ever win a PGA Tour event? Who knows? Justin Thomas probably should be favourite, but none of the market leaders make any appeal, particularly before the draw bias. I mean, you know, they might be out on the wrong side, and then they're even worse bets.
Yeah, as you know, I'm tracking Justin Thomas, but this will not be a week that I'll back him. You know, I want to be backing him at double this price in probably a better field. You know, this is just not appealing to me in round about 12 to 1. No, thank you. Was anyone close to being on the list? What about Schofalele?
I should have mentioned him. Another one playing in TGL this week. Having had an awful weekend at Sawgrass, he finished last of the weekend qualifiers. 77-81, I think, were his weekend rounds at Sawgrass. You know, alarm bells ringing. I think there was a time he was waiting on the range at Sawgrass, but we had to wait for the doctors to see whether he was allowed to hit any more balls or something, I heard. Because obviously he's working his way back from this rib injury, and he's been liaising with the doctors, and obviously his game is in disarray. He's hungry to hit balls, but he wasn't, you know, there's potentially wasn't even allowed to hit balls. So, TGL's the last thing Ebleman needed this week.
Someone just needs to put an arm around him and say, just get ready for Augusta. Like, don't worry.
Well, yeah, but it's reps, isn't it? You know, Tiger Woods always used to bang on about the reps. You know, you need to get the reps into, the muscle memory. And, yeah, Schofalele is not going to come to the Masters with confidence because, it's creeping closer. I think Schofalele is a terrible price this week. Couldn't believe how short he was, to be honest. Yeah, it's all on reputation. He's got a difficult campaign ahead of him. There wasn't many. Man, Luke Clanton was the other one I was toying with. Obviously, Luke Clanton's Florida man and playing in his home state again. He gave us a good run the other day in the Cognizant. Luke Clanton, you could have a little sniff around. But Sepp Straka is by far the most appealing of the market leaders. I know we're giving him abuse at the start of this podcast for the start he made on Sunday, but that was a big event. This is not a big event. He's obviously got the ability to win the Valspar, and he's not involved in TGL. I think of the market principles, Sepp Straka by far the most appealing, and Tom McKibben, Sepp Straka each way double wouldn't be the worst bet you've ever had. But yeah, I like the bigger prices about Taylor Moore and Andrew Novak.
All good. And slightly less challenging to follow all the golf this week, Steve. I mean, it's still not ideal, but less challenging.
Less challenging, and less the weather gods wreak havoc. You know, it's a it's a very wet golf course in Singapore, isn't it? I am excited about the event, but I just pray that we get away to a good start, because it's potential for a waterlogged course. The weekend forecast is much better, so I'm hoping we get at least three rounds in there. And then, as I say, draw bias in the other one. So, the weather gods have got us in their hands this week to some degree. Hopefully, they'll show some mercy.
Bet the Bombers. That's the tactic. Bet the Bombers in Singapore. Right, let's have a tipping round up then. We've got a 5 and a 2. Who are we going for in the Singapore Classic?
Yeah, 5 and a 2. So we've only got 281 opponents this week, Dave. And I don't keep an eye on them. We've got 2.43% of the runners. So I don't see how we can fail. Singapore Classic, Tom McKibben, Alessandro Del Rey, Wenyi Ding, Hugo Casaud, and David Ravetto.
Lovely. Again, jump in the comments if any of them pronunciations are far off the pace. Do please let us know. And the Valspar, who are we going for?
Taylor Moore, Andrew Novak.
Lovely. Right, 10 each way bets there if you want to play the doubles. What you got coming up this week, Steve? No jaunts to any darts to watch, 9 darts or anything coming up?
No, I do fancy Luke Humphries in the Thursday night darts. They're in Cardiff this week. I think Luke Littler will get a rough ride against Gerwyn Price in the semi-finals there potentially. So, I think Luke Littler's a good each way bet for the darts on Thursday. But, I won't be travelling to Cardiff.
I'm looking outside. The sun is out. We need to get around to golfing as well, so we're going to sort that. So I'll be in touch.
I would advise punters to take it easy until the Masters, because you've got some tricky tournaments until the Masters. The Masters is easy, Dave. We always back the winner of the Masters. Take it easy until the Masters. Make sure you've got resources for the Masters. That's my motto.
Mate, well, go and play golf rather than bet on it then in the next couple of weeks. Yep. Coming up, get yourself ready. Get yourself ready. Right, it's been an absolute pleasure as ever, Steve. You out there, do remember to drop a like, comment and subscribe. Remember to get your questions in for Steve, that Q&A leading up to the Masters. Anything, you can ask him absolutely anything. Someone did rumble me the other week, Steve, that I've not read your book. So if you haven't read Steve's book, and I'm sure one of the questions will be, are you going to write another one? Get your questions in for anything you don't know about Steve and want to know. Get your questions in. Do remember to enjoy the golf, gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next time.